Tech repairs, the detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays expected in your 6 o'clock commute. Westbound 5570 approaches from 64 to the Poplar Street Bridge. Everything's flowing freely. Westbound 64 at the 5570 interchange. Everything looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing. Nothing to report at this hour in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Boulevard is closed through June 27th due to Metrolink expansion work. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Thyrin ATC. Don't let weak, underactive thyroid function sabotage your next diet. Thyrin ATC, safe, effective weight loss through thyroid support. You need Thyrin ATC. It works, really works. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, mostly sunny skies, a high in the mid-90s. For this evening, mostly clear skies with a low around 70. Moving on to Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly clear skies but a little haze out there, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
If you have outdoor living space, you have wild neighbors. It may be a city balcony with a birdhouse, or a suburban backyard with birds and bunnies, or an expanse of land with hundreds of acres providing home to many animals. Whatever the size, wherever the place, any property can become a sanctuary for wildlife. The Humane Society of the United States can help you turn your property into a haven for birds, butterflies, and a variety of animals through our Urban Wildlife Sanctuary program. And if you have land that's already a safe place for wildlife, our Wildlife Land Trust can help you protect your land and the animals on it from hunting, trapping, and development into the future. So whether you'd like to create a backyard wildlife oasis or make your land a permanent wildlife sanctuary, we can help. For more information, visit us on the web at landforwildlife.org.
In 1805, Lewis and Clark described in their journals a country teeming with wildlife.
Bison as far as the eye can see.
Rivers churning with fish.
They wrote of scenes of endless beauty and of meeting more than 100 nations of American Indian whose lives were one with our environment. Now, imagine what Lewis and Clark and the American Indians they met would say if they walked the trail today. Would they be pleased?
There are herds of homes where the buffalo once roamed.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, we encourage you to consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left of the trail that still winds through us all. Walk with Lewis and Clark and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
There is a place where a total stranger will give you their blood. A place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. Where a person who doesn't look like you, talk like you, or dress like you will give you shelter after a flood. That place is called America, where we look out for each other. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Please call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't like George W. Bush.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you! Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below
me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal freedom.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Wow, we have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Ooh, where do we begin? Yesterday I was talking about how I didn't understand. How I just didn't understand. How I just couldn't get with. How I couldn't feel it. I just couldn't feel the greed. Couldn't feel it. Couldn't feel the amount of greed that was out there. I tried and I tried, but I couldn't get it. Couldn't get it. But there is something that may, I don't know if it helps explain it as much as it complicates my efforts to understand this greed. I read an amazing story yesterday, and some of you may have heard it, and some of you, probably most of you, have not. Many of you have not. United States, this is just, it tells you, that they don't give a horse's, put half a horse's patoot about you. They don't care about you at all. They don't care about your issues. They don't care. And there were photographs taken about this incident that I'm getting ready to describe for you that I think are every bit as obscene as the photographs of Abu Ghraib. Now, they concern different subject matters, but they are still an obscenity because a lot of some of the energy behind the laughter, behind the gleeful looks of the soldiers that took photographs behind or next to abused people, adults, terrorized adults, assaulted adults, behind the grins of Sergeant Lindsay, Private Lindsay, was this understanding that someone has no value. We can do whatever we want to do in the name of American people, on behalf of the American people. We can do whatever we want with the U.S. military. We are not going to get in trouble for this. So part of that grin was directed at you, at me, at us. Because we were on the other side of the joke. they can do anything they want to. If Americans only knew what we were getting away with, that's the energy. That's the thing behind the grins. We can do anything we want to. And we can get away with it. The joke's on the American people. Here's another not-so-funny joke. The United States, about a year ago, handed out nearly $20 billion of Iraqi money. They carted the money up on these placards, like you see, those big wooden plaques, you know, that are different wooden boards, like you see on a loading dock, that you see those big wooden things, the pallets, those big wooden pallets that you see on loading docks. The money was piled up so high, and it was shrink wrapped like a T-shirt. Piled on a wooden pallet, just like you see at the airport or on a dock. You saw the little guy and the little beep 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 machine coming up with his little earphones on, and to protect his ears from the noise, sticking the forklift in the wooden pallets with money loaded up so a story over a story high, over 10 feet high. $20 billion, and then they took the beep, 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 and loaded it right up into the belly of a plane headed for Iraq, $20 billion. And when it got to Iraq, people came and just got just duffel bags full of money and walked away. $20 billion. This administration and Donald Rumsfeld had loaded up on shrunk wrap, shrink wrap, wrapped up tight, carried off to Iraq and handed out to contractors, handed out to who knows who. And there was a photograph. There was a photograph of federal workers with their arms over around each other's shoulders, with the same private Lindsay grin on their face, standing in front of these pallets of money with two thumbs up. Now let me ask you, what could we do with $20 billion? What could the state of Missouri do with $20 billion? Well, what could we do? How would we, we didn't have to kick 100,000 people off Medicaid to begin with, but what could we do for our schools? If we had the school board that we could give the money to, what could we do for our schools? What could we do? What could the United States of America, what could you, all the people that these grins were directed at, they were laughing at you, they were laughing at me. $20 billion. Okay, bump that. Bump that. Iraqi people's money. What could the Iraqi, do you think the Iraqi people could have electricity if $20 billion had been put into their country the size of California? Do you think the Iraqi people could have some decent health care like they had before we invaded? You think the Iraqi people could have had some schools? You think the Iraqi people could have some businesses? You think the Iraqi people could have a little something something? If their $20 billion hadn't been hauled off in duffel bags, courtesy of the United States government,
good government. You think somebody besides the evildoers could have done something with that money? Joke's being played, folks. Joke's being played. You want to know why the fighting and fussing is still going on in Iraq? Maybe because they gave the duffel bags worth of money to the folks that are shooting back at us. You think? It wasn't like they took a receipt and asked for ID before they gave the money away. They asked more questions of you at a United States airport as you're trying to get on the plane to Florida than they did to the folks they gave away $20 billion to. Are we ready? Want to say it together? All right. On three, say it. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. Get to me.
What are these tears upon? Away, safe in my arms. You're only sleeping. What can you see? Over our horizon, why do the wide gulls
good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Maximum Strength Santank 150. Northbound 270 between Dorset and McKelvey, an overturned vehicle, the far right exit, and that lane is blocked with a short backup as we speak. Northbound 270 between Olive, there's a disabled vehicle in the left lane that's blocked approaching the Olive exit ramp. Eastbound, 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. You've got major road construction. Two left lanes are closed as it goes on through the fall and traffic jams at 5th Street. Northbound, 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Weber Road. No problems there. Eastbound, 44 from Lewis to the Merrimack River Bridge. Everything's on the move. Eastbound, 40 from Mason to Brentwood. No problems to report there. Northbound, 270 from Sappington to Big Bend. Everything is on the move there as well. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry and the Graham Hanley, everything looks good. And then your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect heavy volume already in your 630 commute. Westbound 64 at at 5570, everything is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Leeds Landing, everything is moving well in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Parkway, look for that to be closed through June 27th due to Metrolink expansion, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the new Maximum Strength Zantac 150. Zantac 150, so fast it prevents or quickly relieves tough heartburn, the speed you need against heartburn. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, mostly sunny today, high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Moving on to Friday, mostly sunny skies, high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in around 70. And then for Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 degrees, both under clear skies with a little haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour.
You have hundreds of reasons to visit the St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Your mom and dad, your big brother, Aunt Maggie, Uncle Bill, your cousin John, everyone at your college sorority reunion, for that person who has everything, or just thinks he does. You'll find something for everyone. Fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. All presented by your favorite artisans and crafters and the top independent vendors in the area. You can even bring home an exotic animal or two. Go ahead, you deserve something special too. Mark the dates on your calendar, then go and spend a whole day shopping. Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th at the St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU this Friday as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
What's up, St. Louis? This is George Cotton.
And I'm Syl Wilson.
And, of course, we're your host of The Real Deal with George and Syl.
The place where you end and start the week.
Tune us in every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on WGNU.
That's right, The Real Deal with George and Syl, the show that gives intelligence and logic a vacation.
A vacation? What's that supposed to mean?
Don't worry about it. You'll catch on later.
Okay, so join us for an informative and controversial talk show all on the weekend.
The Real Deal with George and Syl every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m.
We'll see you on the radio. Even though the
streets are... School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Every time I sing this song, I sing for my Georgia. Oh, Georgia. Get it home and through this old sweet song. Keep Georgia on my mind. Hey, Georgia, hold
on. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609. That is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And you can toll-free long-distance me at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I think sometimes, y'all, I think I'm just kind of hard sometimes on our boys and girls in charge of the legislation part of this country. I think I'm hard on Congress. And I was just thinking about that over the break, that I really need to learn to appreciate the things that they work hard to do for us. Because, what's the phrase? It's hard. It's hard being a congressman. It's hard being a Republican congressman. It's hard. It's hard work. But I have to struggle through having your partner in the office of the president. It's hard to have to limp along with being the majority in the United States Senate. And oh, glory, glory, lordy, lordy. How difficult it must be to have the majority in the House as well. Nobody knows the trouble that the Republicans have seen, having held the majority for a number of years. It's tough. It's hard. And aside from me not really being fair and understanding the true hardships that the Republican Party struggles with on a daily basis, I also have to admit, I have to say out loud, I have to be honest and open with y'all. I also haven't given them enough credit for the things that they do. You know, I talk about the things that they don't all the time. I mean, I don't talk about the legislation that they do. So in an effort, you know, and I recognize that it's a small effort, and I have a long, 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 long way to go to make up for my transgressions of not seen and being fair to the Republican Party. I know I have a long road to travel. But I am going to take the first step. Well, the first step of a journey of many, many, many miles begins today. I'm going to let you know how hard the Republican Party works for you, how much they have your interest in mind, and how worthy they are to be in a position to be able to craft the laws that all of us live by. The United States Congress, through the House of Representatives, has been busy with legislation. I'm not talking about for health care. Don't get excited. Not health care. Don't get excited. It's not about predatory lending. It's not about legislation that can stop these dang credit card companies from being able to charge you for being 15 minutes late on your payment. It's not that. It's not about job training. It's not legislation that keeps companies from being able to locate offshore and then go other countries and take jobs out of America. It's not that. It's not about legislation, billion-dollar legislation, to go across the country and repair all of our public schools. It's not that. It's not to fix your roads. It's not more money for education itself. It's not that. It's not, prescription drug legislation that works. And it's not raising the minimum wage. It's not that. What they have done for us is they've taken time out of their busy, busy, busy day to pass legislation to ban flag burning. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God, there they are. It's worth it having them there. is worth it. They have passed legislation, the House of Representatives, to ban flag burning. Ain't that a blimp? Out of all the stuff in the world to be done. They passed legislation. The American people want this, said Senator Orrin Hatch, the sponsor of the amendment in the United States. And I believe this is the year that the Senate will join the House to send it to the states for ratification. Are you out your mind? That's what you're going to send to us? Not health care, education, minimum wage, jobs in America. You are going to send to us legislation that says we can't burn the American flag, and you think you make no mistake about it. This is another calculated, and I can't say the words that I want to say because this is family radio. But you know what words I'm talking about. It's a cynical, calculated, pre-4th of July move, and they think you're stupid. They think you're stupid. That you are going to think that this is something that needs to be done. And if you do, you are stupid. You are stupid. Out of all the things in the world to do, these clowns come up with we don't want to burn the flag legislation. How's your grandmama doing out there? How's your granddaddy doing out there? They got all the drugs they need. They able to buy the drugs they need. Well, don't worry. Your United States Congress is keeping them safe and sound, knowing that nobody can burn an American flag. Take the flag to the hospital when your mama or your daddy or your grandmama or your aunt or your uncle or your loved one has to go to the hospital because they can't go to the hospital because they don't have money. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Ain't that a blimp? Boy, that just makes you want to spit. We're taking a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. It's a Wake Up Call. I ain't done here.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Thursday.
With eHarmony, the matching process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
Online hunting is okay as long as you're hunting for conspiracies. Catch decent guy Don Griffin online at WGNU.net.
Walking for most of us is something we take for granted. Use your gift of walking Saturday 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. Registration is 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. Distance is 3.1 miles. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And speaking of keeping you safe and warm and nestled in the bosom of your good government that loves you so much. Oh, they love you so much. Check this out. Check this out. Your good government. Did you notice? Your good government has decided to look after you. You want to know how? You want to know how your good government is looking out after you? The United States Pentagon. Those are the people with the guns. Those are the people that gave away $20 billion on wooden pallets to the or to anybody that had a duffel bag. Last year, anybody that had a duffel bag got a duffel bag full of money in Iraq. Your good military is now, the Pentagon has now started to keep a database on every high school student in America. Do you know that? The United States Pentagon has decided to keep a database. The Pentagon began working yesterday with a marketing firm. So not only does the Pentagon have your information, but now a marketing firm has the information of all high school students ages 16 to 18 and all U.S. college students to help the military identify potential recruits. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? And all this is an attempt by your government, no, an action by your government to circumvent. There's a law out there. And understand, they busy out here passing an anti-flag burning piece of legislation while they're burning up every single one of your constitutional rights. Oh, something's burning. And something's burning that shouldn't be burning. I ain't talking about no piece of fabric. I'm talking about your rights as a United States citizen. There are laws that restrict our government from collecting or holding citizens' information and turning it over to private firms to do the work. There's laws against that already. Not to mention, what does a 16-year-old, why is the government gathering information on 16-year-old babies? They ain't even old enough to vote. But don't worry, you can't burn that piece of cloth, red, white, and blue. These are amazing times. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Yes.
I saw something on television yesterday that made my blood boil. It was Senator Dick Durbin. He was apologizing for telling the truth, and it appeared that he was fighting back the tears. And I don't know what he said that wasn't true. He said that the treatment that the prisoners at Abu Ghraib in Iraq received was akin to what the Nazis did in World War II to their prisoners. And I think that he's the type of person that is tarnishing the image of the Democrats by saying something and not sticking by it, especially if it's the truth, and then apologizing for it, because the Senate held hearings on the torture that took place at Guantanamo Bay. And they had pictures. One of the senators spoke up and said he had seen with his own eyes pictures of little boys being sodomized, women being raped, and murder. And if that's not akin to what happened in Nazi Germany, I don't know what is.
He should have just brought the pictures and told them to shut up and sit down. Thank you. Car phone, you're on a wake-up call.
How you doing, Miss Brown?
I'm outstanding.
I'll tell you what, the thing that gets me about this war going on in Iraq is I'm concerned about the American people. I'm not concerned about the Iraqi people. And the amount of money that they spent on this war is criminal. And this administration is putting our national security at risk by putting this country in back into deficit spending. There's no way. They have no exit strategy out of this war over there in Iraq. And it's, you know, when's he going to do? He'll come back in another 6 months for another $80 billion to throw down the rat hole in Iraq. And that money could be well spent for health care and fixing Social Security. With all the money that they've spent on this war, that they cooked up this war, because it's an illegal war, they started this war. And to me, that's criminal. And he should be held accountable.
Have you signed off? Have you gone to Representative John Conyers' website and signed off on the petition for impeachment?
No, but I did write a letter to Jim Talent the other day, and I called Bond's office, and I called
sign off on the petition.
Scott Aiken, and I told them that I wanted this man impeached. He's done some criminal activities, and this Dick Cheney, this guy, this is about a sorry low-life person. He's a criminal. He's up nothing but a criminal up there in Washington, sucking the taxpayers dry for his ex-company, this Halliburton. And he's probably getting, according to what Cynthia McKinney said, he gets a check from them, too. He gets
a check from Halliburton. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
For all these sole source, no-bid contracts for Halliburton. They just got $30 million for a they're building another detention camp for these prisoners.
And it's part of a $500 million. It's not just $30 million. It's part of a $500 million contract.
Yeah, some of the things that they do just are criminal, but they're acting like a bunch of Nazis. They're trying to control the press.
And Dick Durbin shouldn't have taken it back. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mildred.
Liz, I've already written to Mr. Conyers.
Very good.
On that letter, Downing Street memo.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour, too. But go ahead.
Okay. I also wrote a letter regarding this mess called flag burning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if history holds true, the Senate will not go along with that.
But they're wasting our time. Out of all the things that they could be working on, why are we even having this discussion?
Absolutely. It is too much time wasted. And I'll say something else. The flag is not a holy symbol. It is not a deity. It is not fit to be worshipped, and nobody should do it.
Thanks for your
call.
Thank
you.
You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. You know, when they're coming up with that constitutional amendment to protect the flag from being burned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. They don't mind burning up the tax dollars.
That's right. That's right. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. We're going to top of the hour. Going to listen to some news. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. When we come back, we're going to be talking about international policies, international politics, and an opportunity to see how what we do over there impacts us over here. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Fire fuels fear in the Southwest.
It was probably 10 feet away from me. It even burned my hair.
His home's one of at least 9 destroyed in Morongo, California. 4 big blazes in that area. 2 others sparked by lightning or burning northeast of Phoenix.
There's no containment on either fire right now. So far, they haven't merged. Together, the fires are in excess of 12,000 acres. Firefighters not close to declaring any kind of containment on these.
Reporter Jim Cross, in Carefree, Arizona, at least 250 homes are evacuated there. Bombing shattered the morning in a Baghdad neighborhood.
As shops were being opened just after 7 in the morning, a succession of bombs exploded in the Karada neighborhood right across the river from the International Green Zone. Within 7 minutes, 2 car bombers drove next to Shia mosques and detonated. There were no casualties there. But 2 suicide bombers walked to a supermarket and into a police patrol before blowing themselves up. At least 3 officers were killed. In all, as many as 17 died, 50 wounded, as the insurgents continue their campaign. David Curley, ABC News, Baghdad.
Lawmakers are expected to grill Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Myers on Capitol Hill today on the future of U.S. troops in Iraq. You may have to pay more for your summer vacation if you're flying and you haven't booked yet. Airfares are gaining altitude.
If these new fares stick, consumers will pay around 3% more. But the question is, will competitors follow the price hikes by American, United, Northwest, and Delta? Already one big discount carrier, Southwest, says it has no plans to raise fares. Even so, demand for tickets is high, and that may allow for some price hikes.
ABC's Richard Davies. Mega Millions gets even more mega. California's the 12th state to join the lottery. Bigger prizes, longer odds. A rules change bumps the odds to 1 in 175 million. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business.
10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation.
Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home.
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
Lots of graduations this time of year. ABC's Linda Alvin has more on one.
William Wales.
With his grandmother, the Queen, watching Prince William graduated magna cum laude, receiving his master's in geography, making him the brainiest modern British royal to date. William, who has inherited his mother Diana's good looks and causes some girls to go weak at the knees, plans to follow his younger, wilder brother Harry into the army. But there is the other job. William is second in line to the throne, though he may be destined to spend decades as a king in waiting. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Michael Jackson's acquittal hasn't translated to a big boost in record sales. Fewer than 300 copies of his latest release, Invincible, sold last week. His older stuff's doing a little better. 5,800 copies of Thriller sold last week. The biggest seller last week, Coldplay, sold more than 300,000 CDs. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Ride Finders. In the news in your 7 o'clock hour, one of the top plumbing inspectors in the city of St. Louis is facing federal charges. Albert Carruthers, the city's assistant chief plumbing inspector, is charged with mail fraud, conspiracy, and aiding and abetting. Carruthers and two other area contractors, Valon Booker of Florissant and Lawrence Davis of St. Louis, allegedly conspired to obtain bribes in exchange for plumbers and drain layers licenses. In a written statement, the St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay says Carruthers is on forced leave without pay and the city is cooperating in the investigation. A St. Louis man is filing suit against the St. Louis Archdiocese for abuse he claims he suffered at the hands of the late Father Thomas Cooper. David Clohesi, the National Director for Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, explains why the unidentified man filed suit.
In the early 70s, Father Cooper befriended and counseled this boy at St. Mary Magdalene's Parish in South St. Louis City and gradually molested him a number of times, both here and in rural Missouri, where Father Cooper had a clubhouse or a cabin.
Clohesi says there are no other reports of sexual abuse against Father Cooper, who passed away last year. Father Cooper worked at several parishes, including churches in St. Louis City, Webster Groves, Hazelwood, University City, and Jennings. A nationwide effort to help connect uninsured patients to affordable prescriptions is underway in Missouri. More than 275 patient assistant programs are part of Missouri chapter of Partnership for Prescription Assistance. The program covers more than 2,500 medications, which are maybe able to be available for free to qualifying patients. For more information, go to Partnership for Prescription Assistance. You can call 1-888-477-2669 or go to www.pparxmo.org. That's www.pparxmo.org. And finally this hour in the news, Matt Morris hopes to stay undefeated when the Cardinals open a 10-game homestand against the Pittsburgh Pirates this evening. Morris beat Pittsburgh in his first start of the season to begin his run for an 8-0 record with a 3.16 ERA. The Pirates counter with left-hander David Williams, who the Cards have saddled with losses twice this season. Williams is 5-5 for the struggling Pirates, losers of 8 of their last 10 to tumble to 32-38, 12.5 games behind the first-place Cardinals. St. Louis has come out on top in all 5 meetings with Pittsburgh this season, outscoring them 35-10 in those games. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:10 tonight at Busch Stadium. This hour's news has been sponsored by Ride Finders. Pumped up about gas prices? Pump money back into your pocket by carpooling to work using Ride Finders' free matching service. Call Ride Finders at 1-800-VIP-RIDE. That's 1-800-VIP-RIDE. Eight minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked. Traffic jams just before Gravoy. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Look for major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic backs up to Highway 94. Northbound 55 between 270 and Bates. Expect normal traffic in your 7 a.m. commute. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270. No problems to report. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. You have slow traffic to report in this hour. Westbound 255 from Coke to Lime Ferry. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Washington Elizabeth all the way into New Florissant Road. Expect slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between or at Lindbergh, look for heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for a very heavy volume as well. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 between 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at 5570. It is slow volume going there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way to Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume this hour. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Boulevard is closed through July 27th due to Metrolink expansion. East Gravoy Avenue at High School Drive, there's a report of an injury accident, and that's in St. Clair. Also in Highway 44 at mile marker 204 and 214 near Cuba, Missouri, traffic is down in one lane in both directions due to construction, and in both directions at Teston Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravoy, look for paving operations having that road closed as well. Over on the east side, westbound 64 between US 50 and Illinois 159, look for road construction that has the right lane closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 70. Friday, mostly sunny once again, a high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a low around 70. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under clear but hazy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live every single day on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. From Xenia to Zimbabwe, you can always catch us here on the World Wide Web. That's the wake-up call from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every day. And one more piece of information, one more bit of how to get to us. We are archived daily. Archived daily. That means if you miss an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So check us out. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. One of the things that we do on this show, and I'm kind of proud of, this particular thing that we do on this show. We try very hard to make this happen. A caller called last hour and was talking about how angry he was about the war and the occupation in Iraq. And he was talking in particular about a story that I brought up in the first hour about how the United States a year ago rolled out on wooden pallets $20 billion, loaded it into a plane, and then just handed it out to whoever had a duffel bag in Iraq. And this was the Iraqi, this is Iraqi money. And the caller said that he didn't care about what was happening in Iraq. He cared about what was happening here in the United States. And while I feel the energy of that, because the caller was talking about, you know, we need to be worried about health care, we need to be worried about education, we need to be worried about the joblessness, the minimum wage, we need to be worried about all of that here in the United States. I understand that. I appreciate that. I vibe with that. But the fact of the matter is that we don't live here on this planet Earth alone. And the United States has a relationship outside of the borders of the continental United States. And if the United States government has relationships outside of the borders of the continental United States, that means that we as United States citizens have relationships outside of the borders of the continental United States. Things are being done in our name. So from a moral perspective, we should care about what happens to other countries because things are being done in our name and they ain't always good. A lot of times they're not good. From a fiscal aspect, we should be concerned about things that are being done in our names by our government because that's our money. And anybody that lives here in the United States knows the challenges that face us economically in this country. We know that. Every day when we get up, we see people that don't have jobs. We see how difficult it is to get jobs. We see people that don't even work in the minimum wage are not even out of poverty. Don't go beyond the poverty level. So we know the challenges that face us in this country. We have issues and we should be concerned that the things that are being done in our names outside of the borders of this country impact us economically as well. And then just from a righteous point of view, the things that are being done outside of the borders of the United States, a lot of things are just plain wrong. And they're being done in our name. So you need to know, you need to care about what happens to the Iraqi people. You need to care about what happens to the Haitian people. You need to care about what happens to Venezuelan people. You need to care. And it should matter because it does impact you. This weekend, there is going to be a discussion. The American Friends Service Committee Foreign Policy Forum is taking place where a number of people are going to sit down and talk to you about why you should care. We're going to talk to you about how it impacts you. And they're going to show you some patterns that makes it easier to see the things that this government does, that what's happening in Iraq has been done before. And you need to see those patterns so you can understand what is happening to you at this time in your world. So we're going to have the American Friends Service Committee is having a foreign policy forum this Sunday from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Regional Arts Commission building. You know where that is. That's right across the street from the pageant on Del Mar. And there's going to be a number of esteemed panelists to talk about some issues. And I thought that it might be a good idea if we kind of give you a heads up on this foreign policy forum this morning. And so what I have done is I've asked to join me in the studio and to join me via phone some of the participants in this foreign policy forum. And it's not going to just be talking. It's also going to be something else very special that's going to be happening as well. Let me start with Lori Reed, Program Associate with the American Friends Service Committee, joining us on the phone. Lori, good morning. Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
How are
you? Good morning, Liz. I'm good.
Very good. Lori, talk to us about why the American Friends Service Committee is doing this. Why is this important?
Well, this is important for the reasons that you outlined, and this is also something that grew out of discussions that we had in, within some of our committees and at places that we've gone where it's often been stated that we're preaching to the choir. People don't have, with as much many media outlets as we do have, we don't, you know, we don't have a Liz Brown in every media outlet, and there's a lot of, some would say propaganda, but very slanted, censored information. It's become a crisis, which was the reason for the National Media Conference that was held here in May. You know, the further consolidation of the media that, Fox News has been described as an adjunct of the Republican Party. There's either a vacuum of information about issues that are very important, foreign policy issues that are very important, or there's very slanted information.
And who are the panelists that are going to be talking about this connect between what we do here and what happens elsewhere?
Well, we're very happy to have you speaking on Venezuela, and we have Juan Gabriel Gomez, who's going to be talking about the situation in Colombia. A lot of people aren't aware that that the people that are most impacted by the so-called war on drugs, the Plan Colombia, are largely Afro-Colombian people living in what's called peace communities, and Juan Gabriel can speak more to that. So we have people whose economy is being disrupted by Plan Colombia. We also have people here at home who are victims of the quote-unquote war on drugs, which was supposed to decrease drug use here and coke production there, and it hasn't worked. So that's a very connected issue. Michael McPherson is an African-American Gulf War veteran. He's going to be speaking about the occupation of Iraq, and he, like a lot of Americans, is very invested in this issue in a lot of different fronts. His son is likely to be going to Iraq very soon, but he's, you know, he obviously has a lot of firsthand experience and knowledge, and was moved towards the peace movement. And is now the executive director of Veterans for Peace, which is a national organization, and they have their headquarters here in St. Louis. A lot of people know Johnson Lancaster, who's been a journalist for many, many years. He's going to talk about the situation in Cuba, which is right in our backyard and has always represented sort of a cipher for the United States government. We're going to hear about the situation in Israel-Palestine, which also has its impact on the occupation of Iraq and its connections to that occupation, continued occupation. Harold Compare of Concerned Haitians and Friends is going to talk about Haiti, which you touched on just briefly just a little bit earlier today and have talked about on your show often, but we often talk about what are the ideals that the United States foreign policy is supposed to be forwarding, and one of them is democracy. Well, this is just one of the latest examples of a democratically elected leader, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who the United States basically
kidnapped.
They kidnapped, mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
All right.
And I'll be touching on debt cancellation. We just had this sort of a half victory, I'd say, on the 11th. We got 100% debt cancellation for 14 African nations. But it's not quite what we want. So we want people to, this was a decision come to at the, by the finance ministers of the G8. They just had a meeting recently. And even saying that, you can see it shouldn't be such a small concentration of people who have such a huge impact on the people of the world. I don't think a lot of people really understand how devastating the debt structure has become and how it's just entrenched a system in which the poorest of the poor are transferring billions and billions of dollars that they don't owe, that's what's called by definition odious debt, to the wealthiest nations in the world. And you can see that type of parallel with poor and working people all over the globe, including the United States.
Well, Lori, isn't it even a misnomer to call it debt? Because a debt within the word debt, it implies, it suggests that there is something legitimate and something that is truly owed. If, you know, somebody took your credit card and racked up a bunch of bills on it and then said that you had to pay, that's not a debt. That is not anything that you've earned or that you are responsible for. But yet we have countries where leaders that were put in place by our government went in and racked up a bunch of debt, and then they're out of office and that country now is supposed to cover that. So it's really, the word debt is really kind of a misnomer.
Yes, and often the money was spent to oppress the very people who are expected to pay that.
Exactly. So I want to introduce some of the people that I have here in the studio with me so that we can begin the conversation about that kind of will hopefully titillate people and get them to come out to the discussion that we're going to have or that's being put on by the American Friends Service Committee, this foreign policy forum. That's going to take place on Sunday at the Regional Arts Commission's building that's on Delmar, right across the street from the pageant. Lori, do you know that address? Do you have that number of the address?
No, I
just assume that everybody knows where the pageant is and everybody knows where the Tivoli is. So it's in that area right across the street from the pageant.
It's a little bit down from...
across from Skinker.
Corner Delmar and Skinker.
Right.
But beyond the loop going.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And let me quickly do this before we take a break so that folks will know who's sitting in the studio with me. I have sitting to my right Juan Gabriel Gomez. Juan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you.
And
good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And I also have sitting to my left Emily Petkovich?
That's right.
Okay, Emily Petkovich, good morning. And Emily, I want to start with you before we get to our break. You're going to add something a little different and a little special to the event. Talk to us about that.
Well, Lori invited me to facilitate a theater session after the panel. I do something called Theater for Social Change and have a body of knowledge not about foreign policy necessarily, but about how to use theater to facilitate dialogue among groups of people. So after the panel discussion, I'm going to get people, instead of sitting, get them kind of standing up, moving around and using theater as a means to stimulate dialogue and discussion and brainstorming about these issues that we're going to be talking about in the panel.
Okay, very good. And we're going to be talking some more about that, how that works. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. We're talking about a panel discussion that's going to be taking place on a foreign policy panel discussion this Sunday at 3:30, from 3:30 to 6 o'clock at the Regional Arts Commission building on Del Mar. That's right across the street from the pageant. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Juan Gabriel Gomez, a former member of the United Nations Appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador, and we're going to be talking about the so-called war on drugs. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Stay with me. Each and every day, but now I found that I've got to stay. Even though it gets hard, I came this far, and I can't live my life no other way. I know it gets hard for us sometimes.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44. There's an accident. The left lane is blocked and traffic jams all the way through 21. Eastbound 70 from 94 to Blanchett Bridge. Look for major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic backed up approaching Highway 94 at this hour. Northbound 55 between Union and Arsenal. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler Plant all the way into Big Bend. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 255 from Telegraph 255. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 from Washington Elizabeth all the way into 170. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh. You still have very heavy volume there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes. Look for heavy volume there as well. The northbound Illinois Route 3 ramp to Poplar Street Bridge exit is closed. The northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is also closed until late June for deck repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street and then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 5570 between 3rd Street all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge. Look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move there in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Parkway. Look for that to be closed through June 27th due to Metrolink expansion. East Gravoy at High School Drive. Look for an injury accident going on with St. Clair's. Located in St. Clair. Also in both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravoy, you can expect road paving going on, and that will reduce your lane restrictions down to one lane. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic attention, and when it's time, make sure you bring your car to your local Toyota dealer, offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny, a high in the mid-90s today. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. For Friday, pretty much the same. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly clear skies, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 and clear skies with some haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Ella Allen Coyne, host of the Gospel Soul Train broadcast. Join me every Saturday evening at 6:30 as we lift up Jesus with the best gospel music in St. Louis. We also bring you the latest church news you need to know. So join me, Ella Allen Coyne, on the Gospel Soul Train Saturday evening at 6:30 here on WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on 4 continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And, of course, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. This hour we are talking about a foreign policy forum that's going to take place this Sunday at from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Regional Arts Commission building that's right there on Delmar, right across the street from the pageant. We're going to have a number of panelists talking about the connection between our foreign policy and what happens here at home. One of the guests that will, or one of the panelists that will be at the forum on Sunday is joining me here in the studio this morning, Juan Gabriel Gomez. And Juan, again, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
Now, you were a member of the United Nations Appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador. And what you were talking about was, and what you're going to be talking about at the forum on Sunday, is this war on drugs. Talk to us about your perspective of whether or not this war on drugs has been an effective war.
War on drugs is probably the most remarkable example of an outstanding failure. Mm. The thing is that we have a problem that is ill-defined, and of course it has wrong solutions to it. When you define something like that you are carrying out a war against something, you basically don't want to lose it, mm-hmm. by to start with. But the fact is that the drug economy and drug addiction are very, very stubborn realities. And it's very difficult to tackle them with something like this kind of militaristic approach. And what we can see now is that the side effects of this policy is just the perpetuation of structures of oppression, like racial discrimination here in this country, and human rights abuses in Colombia.
So talk to us about this. The war on drugs is a colossal failure. One of the things that was going on in Colombia is the Plan Colombia. Can you talk to us about Plan Colombia?
Briefly, I can tell you that the United States government has put about $4 billion.
That's billion with a B.
Yes, mm-hmm. with a B. Mm-hmm. And it's going. It's about to pour like $700 million more in regards to these war on drugs. Mm-hmm. And most of this money is used to support the Colombian military fighting against guerrillas. And part of this money goes to something that is called aerial spray of coca crops. And we have seen that the area that is cultivated with coca crops, rather than decrease, is increasing. There was a decrease in the area cultivated in Colombia, but now we are seeing that coca is again being planted in Peru and Bolivia. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that in spite of all these efforts to eradicate coca production, the price of cocaine in the streets, rather than decreasing, is rather than increasing, which is the standard economic theory approach. That is, if you attack the supply side, the demand, the prices are going to increase and the demand is going to fall.
Because but people can't afford to buy it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the price of cocaine, rather than increasing, is just decreasing. And
yeah, it would be nice if oil did that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be nice if oil prices would go down like that. So when you talk about the eradication component of this Colombian plan, and you talk about the spraying that goes on, why isn't that working? Why doesn't that work in Colombia? I thought that the chemicals that they use are so devastating that basically it's like a scorched earth policy that nothing can grow after that. So why isn't that working?
Because people who are addicted to drugs, mm-hmm. are not going to leave drugs, and this means that the demand is very steady. Mm-hmm. And this is what I meant by the stubborn facts about drugs, is that with a steady demand, this means that no matter whether your coca crops have been destroyed here, you're going to move somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And this means that there's a cycle of cultivation, destruction, cultivation, mm-hmm. and more destruction.
And isn't there also a cost to if these chemicals that are used are so awful and so devastating that nothing else can grow there? So, you know, so you kill the coca, but you also kill the possibility of anything else growing there. And doesn't that hurt the economy?
Absolutely. The fact is that the people who have been more affected by this policy are small peasants. Mm-hmm. And among them, African-American communities and indigenous communities in Colombia.
And when we talk about the indigenous communities in Colombia, because so many Americans are really, we just do a dreadful job here in this country of educating kids in school about other peoples and what other peoples look like. Describe to us what the communities of Colombia look like.
Well, a small peasant community is a community that relies basically on...
I mean physically. I mean, when we look, because I think that a lot of people, just like George Bush when he went to Brazil and he looked around and said, y'all have black people here? I didn't know that you have black people in Brazil. So what do the people look like in Colombia?
Indigenous people look probably the closest to what Americans know. It's like some Mexican immigrants
mm-hmm.
here.
Okay.
It's probably if you want to picture someone who belongs to an indigenous community
mm-hmm.
in Colombia.
Okay.
If with features similar to that.
Okay. So
and people from African descent who live in Colombia are just like any African-American here.
So you have that type of a community there. So when efforts are made and actions are taken, are they taken for the same reason that they're taken here, based upon skin color? When we look at who bears the brunt of a lot of the harsh realities of the policies that are implemented in Colombia, do they come down heavier on people that look like me as opposed to people that are a different color than I am?
Well, no one is going to tell you that all these actions are being taken because of the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that some of these coca crops are being planted in regions where indigenous communities are located, or where African or communities with an African descent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sort of non-intended but non-admitted segregation effect mm-hmm. that is taking place there.
Mm-hmm.
And some are not willing to disclose this.
Mm-hmm.
Like the same thing, like I have one of the outstanding facts about drug policy in the U.S.
And yeah. hold that thought right now, because we have to take a break. And before we take a break, I want everybody to know that walking for most of us is something that we take for granted. Use your gift of walking Saturday, June 25th at the Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. Registration 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. Distance is 3.1 miles. This is Liz Brown. We are talking about, I'm talking right now to Juan Gabriel Gomez, and he's talking about, he's a former member of the United Nations appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador. He will be a panelist this Sunday from 3:30 to 6 p.m. Foreign Policy Forum put on by the American Friends Service Committee. That's going to be at 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Regional Arts Commission's building that's across from the pageant, Sunday, June 26th. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. Israeli officials are hinting that they may resume assassination tactics against Islamic Jihad militants in response to recent attacks by militant groups. Public Security Minister Gideon Ezra says any means to neutralize the organization are relevant and possible. A tension-filled summit meeting was held yesterday between Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Chairman Mahmoud Abbas. Sharon accused Abbas of not doing enough to put an end to lawlessness by Palestinian gunmen. Israeli defense forces also say they will no longer be concerned with using restraint when dealing with Islamic Jihad militants, because recent attacks on settlements prove they have no interest in a peace process. And Dateline San Jose. Police agencies in Southern California say a 63-year-old man recently arrested may be the most active child molester ever heard of. Dean Arthur Schwartzmiller is now jailed without bail. Investigators say they have found a set of notebooks in his home that contain more than 36,000 names of children, plus codes on how he abused them. Schwartzmiller never registered as a sex offender, although he was convicted of child molestation. That means his history was never in databases in California or other states. Police say the abuse cases may spread over at least 5 states, as well as other foreign countries. Authorities are hoping that other victims may come forward as well. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You've been looking for a reason to start your weekend a little early, right? Well, then why not start out with the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Discover new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. Visit with some of your favorite artisans and crafters, and the area's top independent vendors. Learn about exotic animals from ring-tailed lemurs to mini Nigerian dwarf goats. You can even bring home your own sugar glider from Custom Cage Works. All for you Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. The St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU this Friday as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Everything is made from dreams. Time is made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means. Temptation. 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 I can't.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking in the studio this morning to Juan Gabriel Gomez, a former member of the United Nations Appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador, and we're talking about a foreign policy forum that will be taking place this Sunday from 3:30 to 6 p.m. at the Regional Arts Commission building right across the street from the pageant that's on Del Mar. And Juan, you were talking about the so-called war on drugs in Colombia and some facts about that when we were going out on break.
Very remarkable fact is that the prices of cocaine, mm-hmm. rather than increasing, are decreasing. One thing that is very important that I would like to remark here and is that the current drug policy is targeting the weakest link. That's the main idea that I would like to leave here today. It's on one hand, this policy is targeting small peasant communities in Colombia. Mm-hmm. It's affecting the life of all these peasants by destroying the coca crops and all kind of crops using heavy chemicals. On the other hand, this policy is targeting here in the United States mostly consumers. Mm-hmm. And among consumers, the striking fact is that according to a comprehensive study carried out by Human Rights Watch, that relative to population, African Americans, and I am just this is a literal quote, African Americans are admitted in prison due to drug offenses at a rate that is 13.4 times greater than of white men. Mm-hmm. So that is we have a policy that in Colombia is contributing to human rights violations, and here in the United States is contributing to perpetuate patterns of racial segregation
and
oppression.
And this was a five-year plan that this government, our government, funded, here in the United States funded, to the tune of billions of dollars, and it's up for renewal.
Yeah, and what we don't understand when we see this policy is that in spite of its failures, people persist to continue it. And you can guess that probably there's this sort of moral attitude that you want to be upright, you want to be strong about these issues. But the fact is that you're ignoring that there are ways of tackling the problems associated with drugs, like pouring money into education and rehabilitation, rather than trying to fight drugs as if it were a military problem.
Now, Juan, with all this money that is being spent, somebody has to be getting an advantage from this. Somebody has to be getting something from this. Who's getting something from this?
When something like drugs remain illegal, what you have is a very flourishing business of corruption and violence. And the flourishing business is, I think, in the financial system. People who do money laundering. People who are in charge of investing the money that comes from drugs into legal activities. This is where the money is going. Mm. Of course, there are many people who are getting profit from this. And those who claim to be moral upright probably are ignoring this or are taking a very hypocritical stance on this matter.
But with this multi-billion dollar five-year program, why, I mean, if it's not working, who is benefiting from this billion-dollar policy? Is the military benefiting? Is the government of Colombia benefiting? Who's benefiting from this program that's not working for the drugs?
Oh, in the most immediate people who are benefiting from this program is the Colombian government. Mm. The Colombian government wants this money because with this money, the Colombian government believes that it's going to defeat left-wing guerrillas. Mm.
Their opposition.
Yes, that are using coca crops and money that comes from drugs to finance their struggle against the government.
So this is money that they're getting to it's like Republicans would be getting money to fight against Democrats from another government.
Yeah, in this case, it's left-wing guerrillas mm-hmm. getting money from drug trade. We have also right-wing paramilitary groups, but these paramilitary groups are sort of a private army with close ties to the official army, the official Colombian army. They're also getting money from drug trade. But the fact is that because these are right-wing groups, they are not targeted by the government, neither by the U.S. Government.
And let me get to Emily Petkovic. Emily, you're going to be doing a very special thing at the end of the forum. You're going to be involving us in some image theater.
Yes.
And talk to us. We have about 3 minutes left here.
Okay.
Talk to us about some of the aspects of it, of what is image theater.
Okay. Well, image theater was created by a Brazilian man, a theater artist named Augusto Boal, who is a huge influence on a lot of theater artists, including myself. And what his idea was that what needed to happen in theater was the barrier between the audience and the actors needed to be smashed so that the audience would become active participants in the theater experience, and that would lead to revolution for him. So he calls theater rehearsal for the revolution.
I see.
And in image theater, what happens is we will work with a topic. For example, a topic we might deal with on Sunday would be the myth of American foreign policy versus the reality of American foreign policy. And we will literally get up on our feet and, using a technique called sculpting, we will shape our bodies into images of images and ideas based on that theme. So it's kind of taking the literal idea that a picture is worth a thousand words, because when we create an image that the audience can look at, sometimes that's a lot more powerful than just sitting around and talking about the topic. So the group of actors might create the image, and the actors will be the audience members. There's no separation. They're actually called spect actors in the theater of the oppressed. And we'll look at that image, and then we'll talk about what we see. And by doing that, we'll stimulate dialogue and discussion about the topics that we have already heard about from the panelists that are going to be there that day.
Very good. Very good. And Lori?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the American Friends Service Committee.
The American Friends Service Committee is a Quaker organization that is that promotes nonviolence, a pacifist organization. Quakers are pacifists. The Service Committee is sort of like the activist arm of the Quakers. We do a lot of lobbying and political activism work to promote nonviolence, but it's also over the years has become very interested in the concept that you can't have peace, you can't have pacifism without social justice. And I think that's a theme that's reflected in a lot of the things we're going to be talking about. Juan Gabriel was just saying that you can't define the drug problem in military terms. You can't You can't do that. It's a human problem, and you can't address it without taking people as human beings.
And Lori, what time is it going to be, and where is it going to be again?
It's going to be from 3:30 to 6 at the Regional Arts Commission building, which is right across from the pageant. On Delmar.
Right on Delmar, right across from the pageant. I want to thank you very much, Lori Reed, Program Associate with the American Friends Service Committee. Emily Petkovich, a image theater a facilitator, and I want to thank you very much for joining us. And, of course, I want to thank Juan Gabriel Gomez, former member of the United Nations Appointed Truth Commission for El Salvador. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
And I will see you both on Sunday at 3:30.
Thank you, Lori. See you then. Looking forward to it.
Okay, listen, folks. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. We'll be talking to the Green Party about that, you know what, that Downing Street memo and the I word. You know what word that is? That's the impeachment word. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. Another wave of attacks in Iraq. 15 dead in recent Baghdad car bombings. In all, more than 30 people have been killed in insurgent attacks in the past 12 hours. While the White House gets a high-profile visit. ABC's Ann Compton is there.
The red carpet welcome for Iraq's Prime Minister Ibrahim Jafari is timed for the one-year anniversary of the handover of power to civilians in Iraq. President Bush very anxious to emphasize what is going right in Baghdad. Today, Jafari pays a call on congressional leaders. Tomorrow, an Oval Office visit and a news conference. As for what is still a violent war zone, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld takes the heat in testimony today before House and Senate committees. Liz?
ABC's Ann Compton. North and South Korea agree to look for a peaceful way out of the North's nuclear standoff with other nations, with no timetable set to resume talks. The element have the upper hand in a battle between firefighters and some wild blazes.
From California's Mojave Desert to the Tonto National Forest in Arizona, massive wildfires are raging across the Southwest, destroying homes and burning hundreds of acres. Firefighters are battling fast-moving flames amid scorching temperatures, high winds, and dry conditions.
ABC's Andrea Canning. More than 3 weeks after Natalie Holloway vanished on Aruba, the Alabama teen's father says he thinks the investigation may be resolved soon.
I was assured that the case is moving forward, and it's like a big puzzle. All the pieces are starting to fall into place.
The parents of a young Dutch man held in Natalie's disappearance say he's innocent. He and two friends were arrested after she vanished. Lost in a thunderstorm in Colorado Springs, the bodies of two teenage boys have been found. They apparently drowned in a creek after going out to play in the storm. The body of one boy was found by his own mother. The other was found 6 miles downstream. This is ABC News.
How do people react when they get a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price on Hotwire.com? When they discover that Hotwire.com consistently beats other sites on hotels? Let's find out.
Let's see. New York, a 4-star hotel on Orbit, $189 a night. Not bad. Travelocity, $209. And on Hotwire, a 4-star hotel in Midtown for, whoa, $150 a night? Susie, I got a surprise. I booked us a hotel in New York with a spa next weekend, just you and me.
Really?
For $150 on Hotwire.
$150, you wild stallion! I love you, John Carter.
And now, relationship expert Dr. Gloria Lenski.
While Susie was obviously touched by her husband's romantic gestures, she seemed much more touched by the low price from Hotwire, and this is cause for concern.
I'm concerned. Log on to Hotwire.com and see how you react to a great hotel deal. Hotwire.com.
Based on February 2005 comparisons, not including taxes or fees. Prices subject to change and availability.
Sentencing day for Edgar Ray Killen, the 80-year-old man convicted of killing three civil rights workers in Philadelphia, Mississippi in the 1960s. He faces up to 60 years in prison. A man convicted of stalking Mel Gibson has been sentenced.
Idaho drifter Zach Sinclair has been sentenced to 3 years in state prison. Sinclair confronted Gibson after release of the movie The Passion of the Christ, a film that Gibson produced, directed, and co-wrote. In March, Sinclair was convicted of one felony count stalking. He'd been arrested in 2004. Prosecutors said he had gone to the gate of Gibson's Malibu estate, evading neighborhood security. He had asked to pray with the star. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
And someone stealing parking meters in Kalamazoo, Michigan. 57 meters swiped in 10 days. They don't hold more than $10 in change at any one time. One official says someone must be desperate for money. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. In the news in your 8 o'clock hour, the Missouri Supreme Court has unanimously upheld the death sentence of a convicted murderer. Marcellus Williams is on death row for the August 1998 stabbing of former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter Leisha Gale at her University City home. The High Court rejected Williams' argument that his defense representation was ineffective. A new program is designed to help Illinois parents before they get violent with their children. State Senator William Hain, who co-sponsored legislation for the new Shaken Baby Prevention Program, says parents will be provided with tools through hospitals and other ways to vent their anger and frustrations besides shaking a child. More than 3,000 children are victims of shaken baby syndrome every year. 60% suffer lifetime problems due to traumatic brain injury caused by the violent shaking or slamming of the child. The housing market in St. Louis is booming, which can make it difficult for some people to buy a house in a timely manner. Earl Lee, the national director of the National Association of Realtors, says using the internet is a good alternative to house hunting, especially when there are so many choices on the market.
The St. Louis market is a very active market, and I think, like most markets in the Midwest, your home ownership activity is probably a lot higher than it is in other parts of the country.
Lee says looking for a house online could save you time and money because you can narrow down your search by only going to look at the houses you know have the amenities that you seek. And finally this hour, the Blues have rewarded head coach Mike Kitchen with a one-year contract through 2005-2006 NHL season. Kitchen took over the reins on February 24th of last year and directed the Blues to a 10-7-4 record in their 25th consecutive playoff appearance. He's also recently served as a member of the NHL's Research and Development Committee to discuss possible playing rule changes for when the league resumes play. Kitchen will be joined on the bench next season by new assistant coach Kurt Frazier. The 47-year-old Frazier was the first head coach of the expansion Atlanta Thrashers and has also served as the assistant with the New York Islanders and the U.S. national team. This hour's news has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. For this month only, McDonald's fries could mean a Cardinals prize. Free or discounted tickets, road trips, seats with Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes and offers are available. McDonald's, I'm loving it. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, an accident has been cleared, but traffic's still jamming. Approach coming off of I-55, slow again, then approaching Marshall Road. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and 44, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and Berry Road, no problems report. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason Road is slow. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lindbergh has no problems to report. Westbound 270 from West Florissant to Washington Elizabeth, look for slow traffic, heavy in the right lane as you get closer to I-170. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you've got pockets of slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, very heavy volume out there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, you've got heavy volume there as well.
westbound 40 between 270 and Mason. Look for slow traffic there. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 from 64 all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You're still stop and go. Westbound 64 at 5570 split. Look for slow traffic on the ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 to Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems to report there. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed through June 27th due to Metrolink expansion work going on there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better reason to get to your Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 70. Friday, mostly sunny skies once again with a high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies with blazing sun, we have 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 degrees and clear skies with a little bit of haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We also are archived daily at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you missed an hour, you can go get an hour. I was fooling around doing what I do, Googling it, and I Googled in the words Downing Street memo, and they're like over a million and something places to go to find out information on this issue, Downing Street memo, over a million, close to 2 million. Places to go, and that's just on webs. I didn't even do the news Google this morning. And I find that, and the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's kind of amusing in this context that I was reading an article about Rush Limbaugh, who said, and I quote, "I purposely haven't talked about this Downing Street memo much because, frankly, A, it didn't interest me. And you know, if it doesn't interest me, I'm not going to talk about it." And I guess he forgot the B part of it, because he goes on to say, "And the reason it doesn't interest me is because it's just another one of those ginned up things by the libs. And it looks like it's got some similarities to Bill Burkett and the forged documents of CBS and Rathergate." A million places on the web. A million places on the web. And this boy don't want to talk about it. But maybe he's just in one of his drug-induced moments where it clouds his ability to see, which is what drugs do, cloud your ability to see the world for what it is. This ain't fake. And I think a psychologist or a psychiatrist would diagnose the resistance to view the world as it is, as denial. And I think that the combination of both of those things, denial and illicit drug use, gets you to a place where you would say is that it doesn't interest me and it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Downing Street memo, yes, it does. To talk about the Downing Street memo, I have joining me this morning Scott McClarty, media coordinator for the Green Party of the United States, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Does it matter? Does the Downing Street memo matter?
Well, it certainly does. And the first thing that I would recommend to listeners is read the memo.
There you go.
Read the memo.
It's there. You can find it in a million places on the web. It's there.
Rush
read
Limbaugh
it.
and the Bush administration want you to believe that the memo has been discredited, but it hasn't. It is the minutes from a cabinet meeting of cabinet officials in the Blair administration, the administration of Prime Minister Tony Blair over in the UK. And they want you to think it. The first thing they want you to believe is that it has been discredited. The second thing they want you to believe, and they've been saying this over and over, is that it doesn't say what it says. But it
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, basically, is their position on this. Talk to us about what the Downing Street memo says.
The basic thing that it says is that this was a meeting of the cabinet officials in which they were going over a recent meeting they had with Washington officials, and what they learned from that meeting was that the Bush administration intended to invade Iraq sometime soon, and what they said is they want to overthrow Saddam Hussein, and what they say, let me quote here, "The only way to overthrow it," meaning the Saddam Hussein regime, was likely to be a massive military action. Saddam was worried and expected an attack, probably by air and land, but he was not convinced that it would be immediate or overwhelming. Here we go. Let me move down a bit. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMD. Now, we know there were no WMDs, and we know that Saddam Hussein, actually we knew this back in 2002 and 2003, that he had no connection with al-Qaeda. But let me move on. But the intelligence and the facts were being fixed around the policy.
And that's really the phrase, being fixed around the policy. And the policy that we're referring to, that they're referring to is what?
The policy that the Bush administration wanted a military invasion of Iraq. Therefore, the intelligence had to be, quote-unquote, fixed.
Around that.
Around that. In other words, manipulated or cooked.
There you go. I mean, if Saddam Hussein didn't have any weapons of mass destruction, as he didn't, if Saddam Hussein didn't was willing to let the inspectors in to come and look at it, which he did, they had to fix the intelligence to say the opposite in order to go to Congress and tell Congress that we have to go to war with Iraq.
Well, exactly. Now, what some of the apologists for the Bush administration have said was fixed does not mean manipulated. There, it really means
what?
It really means bolted on. That for
uh-huh.
British speakers of English, fixed means bolted on. But there are two problems with that. The first problem is it makes no sense.
First,
if you say the intelligence and its facts were being bolted on around the policy, that makes no sense. The second thing is, if it doesn't mean manipulated or cooked over in England, why has the outrage over this been so much more intense in England than it has over here?
And since they speak the way that they speak over there. So they understand what the word
fixed is. They know exactly what it means,
means over there. So why are they mad about it over there?
They're mad because I think a lot of people in the UK are a little bit more well informed than people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the listeners of your show. I think people who listen to your show are probably a little bit more well informed. But over here in the United States, people like Rush Limbaugh and the readers, unfortunately, even the Washington Post here in D.C. where I live, have dismissed the ruckus over the Downing Street men.
And that's one of the fascinating components of this story, fascinating and consistent, is the almost knee-jerk, immediate dismissal without any how do you dismiss something as irrelevant when you haven't reported on it? How do you take the pulse of the United States people about their interest or lack thereof when you haven't said anything about it? The first stories out were nobody's interested in this. What do you mean you haven't told us anything?
Well, I think the attitude of a lot of the mainstream media has been this is the kind of thing that that's important. It's not important enough for us to cover, but it's important for us to make fun of.
Mm-hmm. But there's a reason behind that. The reason is it's not only making fun of it, but it's also diminishing it, minimizing it, and
exactly.
Trying to get rid of it because that's what they want to do with this.
Yeah, but they do have the Washington Post did have one good point. I'm talking about Dana Milbank, who wrote a really nasty
column about so ugly. I have never seen
John Conyers hearing
awful,
a few
awful,
days ago.
Awful. It was the most vicious piece of mainstream media. I wish that they had been that clear in their attacks on the other side of the aisle. I've never seen him attack the other side of the aisle like he did the Democrats.
But the point that the Washington Post is sort of valid is that nothing new has been discovered here. And in fact, we have known, anybody that's been following this closely for the past 2 years has already realized several things. First of all, as far back as 1999, the Project for a New American Century, which included a lot of people, that are now in the Bush administration, and such as Paul Wolfowitz, and who actually moved on to the World Bank, and Donald Rumsfeld. They wrote a letter to President Clinton urging Mr. Clinton to invade Iraq. But if we move up a few years, move to the State of the Union address that President Bush delivered in early 2003, January 28, 2003, in which he laid out the reasons for invading Iraq. At the top of the list was the weapons of mass destruction. After that was the idea that that Saddam Hussein had worked in collusion with Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda and all that. And then, of course, the charge that Saddam Hussein had been trying to get nuclear weapons materials from Africa. All of the reasons that President Bush gave the American people in his State of the Union address that evening have turned out to be false, and everybody knows that they're false now.
But it's one thing, Scott, to say that someone unintentionally said something that was wrong. The implication of all of that was, I had bad intelligence. I came to you with bad intelligence. My heart was pure. My intentions were pure. I was just told the wrong things, and so I drew a conclusion based upon being told wrong information. That's what's been fed to the American people now that we know that there aren't any weapons of mass destruction. For those that don't know, weapons of mass destruction, that Africa wasn't involved, all of those things. But what the Downing Street memo underscores and makes clear is that this wasn't a mistake. This is something that you intended to do.
It was conspiracy.
Yes, it was.
Yes. But even as far back as early 2003, all of the reasons, all of the excuses that President Bush gave to invade Iraq were at that time implausible, and a lot of people around the country knew that it was implausible, and they went out into the street and they protested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member of the Green Party. I speak on behalf of the Green Party. We went out, we protested. Millions of people around the world, the largest turnout for protests in cities around the world in mid-February, February 15th, I believe, turned out to protest the plans that that Bush had for invading Iraq, and which he launched shortly thereafter in March of 2003. March of 2003.
And again, Scott, there's a difference between people going out and protesting and saying George W. Bush was wrong and people going out and protesting and saying George W. Bush lied. Because if you lied, we can get to the I word. We can get to the impeachment word.
It was the stench of deception back then. Now it is the evidence of deception.
There you go. There you go. And so we have now gotten to the place that, okay, we have this Downing Street memo. It shows not that you were wrong, but that you lied to get us into war, and that's an impeachable offense.
Again, listeners should read the Downing Street memo. It's amazing to read. You can read it at afterdowningstreet.org, or you can go to the website of the Green Party of the United States, gp.org. In the upper left-hand side, there's a nice picture of President Bush, and underneath it says impeach him, and it says read the Downing Street memo. Click on that, page down a little bit, and you can read the text of it right there. It was originally published. It's a top-secret memo, by the way. People
mm-hmm.
should know that. It was originally not for our eyes, but it was published by the Times of London on May 1st of this year.
And we're now almost into July, and this story didn't start percolating really until this month.
Exactly.
And let's talk a bit about the efforts of Congressman John Conyers, because it's really remarkable what he has done.
Well, he has taken the lead on this, on publicizing it. He initiated a hearing that took place, I guess, about a week ago now.
A week ago.
Mm-hmm. Here in Washington, D.C.
A week ago tomorrow.
He could not get official use of one of the regular hearing chambers. The Republicans, since the Republicans control Congress, they would not allow that. So it took place at another location, and And
only in another location. It took place in the basement.
In the basement.
They moved him to the basement. They didn't even give him tables. They had to go get card tables. They had to put sheets over the card tables. And they also scheduled an unprecedented 11 other places where people had to go and vote at the same time that this hearing was going on, so that other folks could not come to this hearing.
They tried to sabotage it.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So talk to us about what does the Green Party's position on this, and what is the Green Party advocating that people do?
Well, the Green Party was very intensely against the invasion from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually drafted and passed a resolution that President Bush be impeached in July of 2003, based on his invasion, because the invasion itself, even back then, was in violation of the U.S. Constitution and in violation of international law. It was an invasion of a foreign country. The U.S. Constitution says that the use of armed forces is limited to the protection of U.S. borders. This was an act of military aggression, and we recognize that right away. We are calling upon Americans to call their members of Congress and ask them to act right now to support the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Scott McLarty, media coordinator for the Green Party of the United States. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Downing Street memo. He lied. We died. Impeach him. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
You stop by to say hello to me. Remember, that's the way it used to be. It seems like a mighty long time. Shiba, shiba, my baby.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Sales Summer Drive. Eastbound 40 between Lake St. Louis and Route N. Look for an accident. The left lane is blocked. Eastbound 70 from 94 to Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction. Two left lanes are closed, and traffic is backed up east of 94 at this hour. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Antire to 270. No problems to report there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lee May Ferry. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. That traffic is finally easing up this hour. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44. Expect normal traffic for your 8:30 commute. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Hanley. Look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 170 from the Club Tower all the way onto 40. Look for slow traffic as you approach those 40 ramps on the right lane. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is still sluggish there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move in both directions. Skinker at Forest Park Parkway. That's closed until June 27th for Metrolink expansion work that's going on. And finally, that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. There's never been a better reason for you to get to a Chrysler dealer than right now during the Summer Sales Drive, where you can get big cash allowances or low financing on some of Chrysler's best products. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Mostly sunny today, a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Friday, mostly sunny still with a high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high in the lower to mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees under sunny skies. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Here's some free advice on matters of the heart. Want to get on the good side of your special lady? Well, all you have to do is take her to the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair this weekend, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. She'll love strolling through a huge array of fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, and a whole lot more. She'll also enjoy visiting with some of her favorite artisans and crafters. And who knows what she might come home with for you. If you're really smart, though, you'll go with her, keep an eye on what she likes, and then get it for her. You can even bring home an exotic pet from Custom Cage Works, the best brand in Texas. Now remember, the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair is this Friday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU this Friday as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Why listen to Brand X Radio when you can listen to something brand new? Join the conversation by calling 314-454-0400 or toll free from outside the local calling area at 1-877-920-WGNU. For those of you who may be alphabetically challenged, that's 1-877-920-9468. Stop rushing around the radio dial. Leave it here and call in and talk on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. We are talking this hour to Scott McLarty, media coordinator for the Green Party of the United States, joining us from Washington, D.C., and we are talking about the Downing Street memo. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were talking about earlier that the Green Party had demanded the impeachment of George W. Bush based upon the illegal invasion of Iraq. Why do you suppose that this Downing Street memo seems to have, because I mean, I get it. I understand that the invasion was illegal. Why do you think that this Downing Street memo is catching fire instead of the other reasons?
Well, I think that people are seeing that the invasion and occupation aren't going very well. And so far they've noticed that in the news that over 1,700 American soldiers have been killed over there. They know that tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians have been killed, that there is an insurgency there that it's called an insurgency that isn't letting go, and this looks to be a long quagmire similar to Vietnam, and this actually is has something to do with the memo as well. The memo also says, this is the Downing Street memo, back in July 2002, there was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. And we know now that the Bush administration had no exit strategy. They had no plans for what to do after the invasion was successful. Everybody remembers in the beginning of May last year, President Bush dressed up in and a pilot's uniform. It kind of looked like a Halloween costume on him, and declared that an American victory.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. That's what he said. And we're still there right now, and hundreds of more soldiers died after mission accomplished than in the initial invasion itself.
Before the mission was accomplished.
Exactly. So what is going on over there? I think people began to realize that the Bush administration had acted rashly and according to some kind of strange ideology. And let me point out that this is a radical ideology, this idea of invading foreign nations.
In anticipation of what we think that they are going to do to us.
Exactly. That's called preemptive or preventive invasion. And the Nuremberg trials after World War II, that was condemned. Preventive invasion, which was a term used to describe the invasions that the fascists, at the beginning of World War II, invasions of places like Poland and Czechoslovakia, Hitler called those preventive invasions. He said that those nations represented a threat to Germany at that time, so that was an excuse to invade. So the Nuremberg meetings after World War II, at which German leaders, German generals were declared war criminals, and some of them were executed, they condemned it. President Dwight Eisenhower condemned it. So this is not a conservative idea. It is a radical idea, and this is not a dispute between liberals and conservatives. It is a dispute between the radicalism represented by the Bush administration and people that are very much concerned, people who are both liberal and conservative on all different points of the spectrum in the United States, who are quite concerned about the direction of our country now.
And we need to also, if we're going to continue to view history accurately, we need to also bear in mind that this radical policy of preemptive strike, this policy of preemptive invasion being condemned by the Nuremberg, as a result of the Nuremberg trials, this was not a fact that was missing or not known to the Democrats that voted along with the Republicans in October of 2002 to allow for this preemptive invasion.
Exactly.
I mean, they shouldn't have done it either.
When they voted to do that, basically what they did is they voted to surrender Congress's constitutional authority to declare war. They voted to transfer that to the White House. They upset the balance of power. They destroyed the checks and balances, and they created this scenario for massive deception and a massive abuse of power.
They did that.
I'm not a Democrat. I am a Green.
And well, I think there was just one Democrat that said no. I think it was Barbara Lee that said no.
There were a few Democrats that said no, but the mainstream of the Democratic Party, including Senator John Kerry, who went on to run for president, they voted for it. They were unapologetic about it. They said we needed to give President Bush all that power. And no, an American president, I don't care what party, whether Democrat or Republican or even Green, no no executive leader of the United States should ever have that much power.
And here's the other piece of it, Scott, that I think should not be lost upon the folks that are listening out there, and that is this. John Kerry knows more about George W. Bush than you or I will ever know. Members of Congress knows things about this administration, scary things about this administration, that you and I will never know. They know him better than we do, and yet they still gave this man, who they know a whole lot of bad stuff about, the authority to make this decision. That's crazy.
All the Democratic members of Congress, beginning with Nancy Pelosi, the representative from Senator from California, who sit on the Intelligence Committee and both houses, they saw the intelligence. They knew that they must have known that it was weak or that it was manipulated.
And they still gave him the authority to do so. So I think that this is either an opportunity for people to fess up and say, well, I believed him and I shouldn't have, and now we got to fix this thing, or for them to continue to try to duck and cover. It's my understanding that John Kerry, who spoke very loudly about as loudly as John Kerry speaks, about the Downing Street memo last week, has now pulled back and said, well, we're going to start studying this Downing Street memo. It remains to be seen what a lot of the elected officials are going to do on the Democratic side of the aisle, with the exception of John Conyers and people like Maxine Waters and the Progressive 50 that have gotten together to push this Downing Street memo. It remains to be seen what the rest of them are going to do.
Exactly. But, you know, they're going to study it. But I recommend, I'm sure we both recommend, that we, all of us as American citizens, also need to be informed and should read the text of the memo itself. And if you're not online, if you don't have if you're not on the Internet, if you don't have a computer, visit a friend, sit down, and read the text of the memo. This is something that every American should read and judge for himself or for herself.
And it's very encouraging to know that when Representative John Conyers, 76 years old, by the way, who took this petition, he had over 500,000 signatures in, what, less than 2 weeks, less than 3 weeks?
Very quickly.
You know, so there is a groundswell out there. And I know that anybody out there that doesn't have access to the Internet knows somebody that does.
And this needs to convert into action.
Yes,
it needs to. People need to contact their members of Congress, and also to contact their friends and family and neighbors and all that, and urge them to speak their minds, too. I mean, otherwise, we're not a democracy.
There you go. And where can people get a copy of the Downing Street memo, Scott?
Well, you know, my organizational bias, I'm with the Green Party. I recommend you go to gp.org and look on the upper left-hand side. You'll see the picture of President Bush, and it says impeach. Read the Downing Street memo. Click on that. Or you can go to afterdowningstreet.org, and there's lots of valuable information about the Conyers hearings, the text of the Downing Street memo, and other interesting things to read about what's going on.
He lied, we died, impeach him. Scott McLarty, thank you so much. Media coordinator for the Green Party of the United States. Thanks for joining us. This is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this. Our number here is 454-0400. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Mama, you never have to worry again. Up bright and early, right. Scrambled eggs, right. Swelling in your legs, right. Bills on the bed. Still you manage, right, to show me a smile, right. Then walk to work about, right, 2 or 3 miles. Mom, I'm gonna struggle with you. I'm gonna help you see the bigger picture. You gave me something no one can take away. You make it so easy to say, I love you, mama.
Mama, new love. Like
hey, mama,
Michael,
new love.
Used to fall asleep playing in your work.
Every day.
Mama said, you never have to worry again.
You never have to worry again. Mama, love you. Yeah, yeah.
Mama, new love. Like
mama,
Michael,
new love.
Used to wipe feet just to make the air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mama said,
this is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Kabul. The U.S. military says about 40 militants were killed in a firefight with U.S. and Afghan forces in southern Afghanistan. An increase in violence has taken place in recent months and is being blamed on the remnants of the Taliban and their allies. The military says there are hundreds of Taliban in mountain camps and an operation is currently underway to flush them out. The Afghan government has accused its neighbor, Pakistan, of not doing enough to stop militants who, it says, are using that country as a staging ground and a sanctuary. And Dateline London. One of the umbrella companies of Halliburton has just received a new influx of cash from the British government at a time when it's in the middle of a bribery investigation. Kellogg Brown and Root has received a loan guarantee of $10 million for oil field work in Kazakhstan. The same company also received large loan guarantees from the British government to help build a large gas plant in Nigeria. But allegations have now surfaced that KBR made under-the-table payments of nearly $200 million to Nigerian officials in order to guarantee that contracts would be received. Halliburton was forced to concede last November that such payments may have indeed been made to those Nigerian officials. This is your wake-up call global news update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head. And then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with a ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. Then you'll spread your wings and take to the sky. But I'm sure that morning there is nothing can harm. Mommy standing by.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. There's just so much love out here. There's just so much love. Just so much love. It's good to know in light of the fact that our good government
went and got billions of dollars, $20 billion to be accurate, completely accurate, loaded it onto wooden pallets, shipped it off to Iraq and handed it off to people carrying duffel bags. It's good to know that they've got their eye on the bottom line and that they have much, much love for all of us. And if you want further evidence, if you want just to feel wrapped in the embrace of a loving and concerned United States Congress, know this. This will show you how much love they have for you. They want to cut $100 million out of PBS for the fiscal budget that begins October 1st. Now, understand the entire budget is $400 million. So they want to cut $100 million. Again, juxtapose that next to the $20 billion that this same administration shipped off to Iraq on wooden pallets, shrink-wrapped. Handed off to anybody that walked up to him with a duffel bag. But there's more. They also want to eliminate the $23 million ready-to-learn partnership with the Education Department that helps fund programs such as Sesame Street. Oh, there's more. They also want to eliminate a $79 million for technology upgrades. Oh, hey, love grand. Isn't it good to be loved? Isn't it good to be looked after? Isn't it nice to be cared about? Isn't it nice to be on the list of priorities? Oh, I know they love me. Oh, I know they care about me. Oh, I know they're looking after me and our babies out here. $100 million out of the proposed $400 million for public broadcasting. And here's the piece. You gotta feel this. You gotta know this. You gotta, like I said, understand this. This isn't about just having some advantage. Oh, hecky no. Hecky no. This isn't about some advantage. This is about every stinking advantage. They want it all. They want scorching beneath the scorched earth. It's not enough to scorch it once. They want to scorch it twice, three times, four times. They want it all because you cannot. If we have a liberal media, tell me why the liberal media doesn't have Downing Street memo on the front page every day. Every day. Downing Street memo on the front page every day. The major media in the United States of America dismissed the Downing Street memo. Dismissed it. Said nobody in America was interested in it. So help me with where the liberal media is. Help me with that. There is no liberal major media. There isn't. Where's the evidence of it? So my point is that that's not enough for this party. That there's no, everybody doesn't watch PBS. Everybody doesn't watch PBS. A lot of babies watch PBS with Sesame Street. But most Americans don't watch PBS. Doesn't matter. And know this, if you live in a society that tells you that we shouldn't have PBS, know that they're coming after everything that matters to you. P-
People like that don't hold in their belly. Not people with a scorched earth policy. Not with a double scorched earth policy. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I also signed the petition that John Conyers asked the people to do, and my wife and I both signed it.
But, very good.
I'm going to take exception to your slogan about he lied, we died, and impeach. I think what we should do is what this government does, and that is to try people for war crimes with the possibility of being sent to jail or being executed. I think that impeachment is just a slap on the wrist, and I wonder if maybe that it's a little bit too soft for the crimes he has committed.
Oh, but that's if you look at it in terms of that's all that's going to be done. First things first, Demetrius. First things first, we impeach him, and there are plenty of other things to do after that.
You think that he could be tried for war crimes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Depends on how tough people roll with this impeachment piece.
Oh, wow.
Depends on how tough people roll with it. If people get as angry as they should about this, there's plenty of things for people to do. But first step is, he lied, we died, impeach him, and then we go from there.
Okay,
first
and then one
first.
Other thing very quickly. I was in Venezuela when the white people down there tried to oust the president, Hugo Chavez,
mm-hmm.
and I have some opinions about that, and I know the time is running out, but at another time I'd like to call you about the experience and what I saw going on.
You really should come on down to the foreign policy discussion that we're going to be having on Sunday. At the Regional Arts Center right there across from the pageant on Del Mar from 3:30 to 6, because I'm going to be talking about Venezuela, and your comments would be great.
Oh, I've been there, and I've got something to add to it.
Very good.
You know, ground-level stuff.
Very good. Thank you so much,
Dimitri. Okay, I'll see you there then.
All right, Dimitri. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Smoke, there's a summer wildfire season. At least 6 homes have burned. Dozens more are threatened in Morongo Valley, California.
Our house is historical. Our livestock, we had probably $100,000 worth of horses.
He lives in the community about 100 miles east of L.A., checking the immediate forecast.
In the afternoon, when it's dry out here, almost anything can start a fire if the humidity is under 20%.
Bill Peters with the California Department of Forestry. 2 blazes burning northeast of Phoenix have yet to merge, but at least 250 homes have been evacuated there.
This was almost just waiting to happen, a time bomb waiting to explode in Arizona. Very wet winter, powered by an El Nino that brought a lot of rain. It created a lot of brush this winter. And firefighters have been worried about this for months and months, that these brush fires would pop up. And this looks like this could be the most dangerous one so far this year.
Reporter Jim Cross. Car bombings, time to go off minutes apart, shattered the morning in a Shiite neighborhood in Baghdad, killing at least 15 people. Violence in Iraq over a 12-hour period, including those blasts, claimed almost 40 lives. From Baghdad, ABC's David Curley tells us.
Iraqi and American forces are reporting that sometime this morning they found some terrorists in a house in western Baghdad, and they engaged them. And when they were in the house, they discovered weapons, ammunition, and explosives. The house caught fire, so the multinational forces withdrew. The terrorists stayed in, and apparently the ammunition started exploding. No word on exactly how many terrorists may have been killed.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld's on Capitol Hill testifying on the U.S. mission in Iraq. More than 3 weeks after Natalie Holloway vanished on Aruba, her dad says,
I still hold out hope, although small, that she's still maybe alive, but you've still got to have that hope that's still a possibility.
The Alabama teen was on a senior trip. 4 men are being held in the case. This is ABC News.
With all the recent news on prescription pain relievers, you may be asking what's right for you. Talk to your doctor and ask about Advil. The fact is, neither Celebrex nor Vioxx has been proven to be more effective on tough pain than Advil. Advil has been trusted by millions for over 20 years. Ask your doctor if the strong, trusted pain relief of Advil is right for your kind of pain.
Use as directed for occasional pain only. Do not exceed 10 days. Talk to your doctor if pain persists. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
Top 3 reasons I love my new Hampton Bay ceiling fan. Number 3, it's my own personal tropical breeze with 3 speeds. Number 2, it's the perfect finishing touch. And number 1, it looks cool. And for what I paid, it's even cooler.
Right now, you can save 20 to 30% off select ceiling fans and lighting. So come in and seize the summer at the Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. Offer valid through July 6th in U.S. Home Depot stores only.
The Pentagon's working with a marketing company to help find recruits.
In an official announcement, the Defense Department makes clear the purpose of this database: to assist branches of the military in their direct marketing recruiting efforts. The Pentagon has hired a data collection firm in Massachusetts to compile names, social security numbers, grade point averages, and email addresses of high school and college students. Critics say the database violates the Privacy Act, which limits the government's ability to collect personal information.
ABC's Erin Katursky. She's known as the woman who talked the alleged courthouse shooter into giving up. Ashley Smith spent hours as a hostage telling Brian Nichols she couldn't die because she was all her young daughter had left. Now police have arrested two men in the death of Smith's husband. Daniel Smith was stabbed during a brawl in 2001. Some witnesses just came forward with new testimony. Police in Columbia County, Georgia, say they're not sure if the publicity in the Atlanta courthouse case is what led to these arrests, but they say it may have. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. In the news in your 9 o'clock hour, it will be several weeks before a Jefferson County man will be returned to the United States to face charges that he kidnapped his daughter. FBI Special Agent Peter Krusing says there are protocols that need to be followed before 33-year-old Arlen Hill can return to the U.S.
He will be appearing before a local judge. There is an appeals process there, so that whole process can take up to 14 days, and we don't expect his return before that time.
Hill was arrested on Tuesday in Auckland, New Zealand. In addition to kidnapping charges, he could face federal charges. Authorities say Hill kidnapped his daughter, Taylor Hill, in 2002 when she was 17 months old. The girl is now 4 years old, and she will be returned to the St. Louis area and her family in the next few days. The mass transit system in downstate Illinois is getting some help from the state. Governor Rod Blagojevich signed a bill yesterday that provides nearly $11 million to help the downstate mass transit districts meet their expansion needs. The new funding includes $5.4 million in new funding for the St. Clair County Transit District. The Madison County Transit District will also receive an additional $500,000. It turns out that sitting too close to the TV will not ruin your eyesight, at least not anymore. Back in the 1950s, televisions did give off a small amount of X-rays, which in large enough doses could lead to eye problems. But Dr. Ruben Mezerich, the head of radiology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, says televisions are now made with lead in the glass, which stops X-rays. But sitting too close to the TV is still a bad idea. Mezerich says it won't make you blind, but it could lead to eye strain and headaches. And finally, this hour, this 4th of July will break the record for the number of people traveling, not only just for Independence Day, but for any holiday, even Thanksgiving. AAA estimates 40.3 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home, a 2.8% increase over a year ago. The vacation comes despite high gas prices and recent increase in motel room rates measured across the country. AAA's Sandra Hughes says people can expect busy beaches, packed parks, and crowded campgrounds. The calendar gets most of the credit for the increasing travel. This year, 4th of July is on a Monday, giving people a three-day weekend. This hour's news has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800-2-DONATE, or you can visit 1-800-2-DONATE.org for more details. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, let's take a look at your final look at traffic for this Thursday morning. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Farms. In both directions, I-70 at the Scales near Forest Elder. Police are working a minor accident on the shoulder. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes closed, and traffic still jams up to 94 this hour. Northbound 55 from Bayless to Arsenal. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between 109 and 270. Look for no problems there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to Lima Ferry. No problems there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain to Graham Hanley. Expect normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 at 44. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 40 at Hanley. Look for that traffic to be easing. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge is easing this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way before Laclede's Landing. No problems there. In both directions, Skinker at Forest Park Parkway is closed until June the 27th for Metrolink expansion work. Westbound 255 at Illinois 157, various lane closures due to road construction as they're replacing expansion joints over the Prairie Demont diversion channel, so two lanes will remain open at all time, but expect a bit of a jam in that area. In both directions, 44 at Jamison, look for bridge maintenance operations, expect various lane closures. Northbound 170 between Galleria Parkway and Forest Park Parkway, look for road construction there. The right lane should be closed throughout the morning hours. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Farm. This weekend, spend some family time down on the farm. Bring the whole gang to Eckert's in Belleville for a delicious country meal, homemade custard, and some family fun at the Fun Corral. Eckert's, always in season. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For the remainder of today, look for mostly sunny skies, with a high in the mid-90s. For this evening, mostly clear with a low around 70. Friday, mostly sunny still with a high in the mid-90s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 70. And then on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees under clear skies with some haze. Lambert Field is reporting 80 degrees, clear skies, and haze as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
Is food in the freezer protected from going bad? Prevention Magazine's July issue says yes, it will stay safe, assuming it wasn't bad when you put it in. But the flavor and texture might get yucky the longer something's stored in the freezer. Also, freezing doesn't kill bacteria, it just makes them dormant. So follow guidelines for foods in the fridge once they thaw out. Here's the general storage guidelines for frozen foods kept at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Ice cream, 2 to 4 months. Cooked meats and raw ground beef, 3 to 4 months. Raw poultry and pork, beefsteaks, and roasts can be frozen up to a year. Fruits and vegetables can also be kept up to 12 months. For more information, go to www.prevention.com. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. the progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers. Stop
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. My goodness. The next hour is open lines, open calls, so you need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. And I'm not letting it go. I've been talking about this all morning long, even with the guests that I have had on. I'm working it into the conversation because I'm not letting this go. This is crazy. This is crazy stuff by this government. It's crazy stuff. Our government handed out $20 billion of Iraqi funds to spend the money before allegedly transferring the power to the Iraqis a year ago. One single shipment. They took it out of our bank, the Federal Reserve in New York. And I just want to see what them. I would love to see? I would love to see the memo that said release $2.4 billion, because that's the largest movement of cash in the bank's history. I'd like to see the memo. And I'd like to know who had to sign off on a memo that said release $2.4 billion. I'd like to see who signed off on that. And what is how long is a memo? How many words does a memo contain that allows for the release of $2.4 billion? And mind you, this money came before transferring the power to the Iraqis. So does that make sense? Okay, two possibilities. Are you buying votes in the Iraqi election? Oh, but if the election was already over and you're getting ready to transfer power, why wouldn't you wait till the power had already been established and give it to the new government? Why wouldn't you do that? Cash was loaded onto giant pallets, paid out to contractors who carried it away in duffel bags. Now, it seems to me that the liberal media would have had this on the front page of the paper today. This is out of Reuters. This is just a Reuters, just a wire story. I don't see it on the front page of the paper. An audit by the U.S. Inspector General for Iraqi reconstruction said U.S. auditors could not account for nearly $8.8 billion of Iraqi money. Just think about it, y'all. If you walked into your place of business, into the cabinet that stores your papers, your pencils, your copying printer fluid, and just the stuff that makes your business run. Or better yet, if you were in charge of maintaining that closet, what do you suppose would happen to you? Or do you think that you get maybe a phone call? If there was, I don't know, $1,000 worth of stuff missing, do you think that somebody would call you in and have a good talking to you, or maybe hand you a pink slip, or not even a pink slip, but a big boot, and get you out the front door? What has happened to the people that are supposed to follow the trail, and I must say, the big old trail, of $8.8 billion. Has anybody gotten a job? But because this is the Bush administration, I suspect that nobody has gotten fired. I suspect that a whole lot of promotions going on out there. That's what I suspect. And my next question is, what is my Congress saying about this? One representative, Stephen Lynch of Massachusetts, asked, why did so much money have to be transferred so fast? And in all fairness, we were given an answer. And in all fairness, y'all just need to shut up because y'all don't understand how business operates in this administration. They gave us an answer, so we need to shut up and sit down. And let me tell you what the answer is, and one would think that the explanation would be one that required a bit of your time, but it won't take me more than 5 seconds to give you what the explanation was. And infusion of funds was needed to address a wide variety of needs before the new Iraqi government took over. Huh? What the? Huh? What? Huh? Yeah, I guess so. Y'all needed to see how many duffel bags it took to cart away $5 billion. Maybe that's what the project was. To see how many duffel bags it takes to cart away billions of dollars. Can you believe that? One, the best that a Republican could say about a photograph of grinning CPA officials standing in front of a pile of cash worth millions of dollars to be paid to a contractor, the best a Republican could say, the most that could come out of his mouth was, it looks a little loose to me, you think? You think? He said, and I quote, it looks a little loose to me. Citing documents from the U.S. Federal Reserve in New York City, Congressman Waxman said that the United States flew in nearly $12 billion in U.S. currency to Iraq from the United States between May 2003 and June 2004. The money, they say, was used to pay for Iraqi salaries. How many Americans would like to be getting some of that salary? How much are you paying somebody when you've given away $12 or $5 billion, a total of $8.8 billion? Those are some well-paid Iraqis, I must say. The United States government, this administration, said the money was used for Iraqi salaries, to fund Iraqi ministries, and also to pay some U.S. contractors. In total, more than $281 million individual bills were shipped. Let me say that again. In total, $281 million bills, including more than $107 million bills. And let me just say this. I'm not in the White House. I'm not privy to so super secret debriefings, in briefings, out briefings, the briefings. I'm not privy to. Let me just say that up front. But I have watched a lot of TV. And I have read a lot of books. And I have seen a whole lot of movies. And the only conclusion that I can draw from my life experience is this. When there is a secret drop-off of a whole lot of small, used American bills, it's a payoff. It's a payoff. It is a payoff. Period. Dot. They asked for $107 million unmarked $100 bills. And they got them. Shrink wrap, don't you know? And they hauled it away in duffel bags. Now, this wasn't $5 billion worth of Iraqi money. This was U.S. money. So, the American contractor that received a duffel bag or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or ten of $100 bills, American bills, and they carted it away, how much taxes is he going to have to pay on a duffel bag full of $100 bills? Because it wasn't just Iraqis that was getting the supposedly Iraqi money. This was money that was the Iraqi people's money. Why were there American contractors getting duffel bags of it? And duffel bags of it. One contractor, we know this because there's a picture of grinning CPA folks standing in front of it. A security contractor got they were standing in front of a pile of cash worth $2 million. And everybody was grinning. I bet they were. I bet they were. I've seen people that win the lottery. I haven't seen one of them frown yet. Go to Iraq, win the lottery. Except, of course, if you are a PFC from the Appalachian Mountain area. You don't have enough money to pay your house note if you were lucky enough and financial enough to buy a house in the first place. I guarantee you that the PFC that ain't smiling in front of the cameras and standing in front of a pile of $2 million worth of cash, I guarantee you if he has a wife, she's on food stamps. I guarantee you that when he comes out of Iraq, he won't be getting any education. I guarantee you that when he comes out of Iraq, if he lives past the experience of being the cannon fodder in Iraq, I guarantee you that when he gets back home to the Appalachian Mountains, there won't be a pile of cash waiting for him. I guarantee you, there won't be a job waiting for him. And if he's wounded physically, I guarantee you, since they're moving all of the military bases from the Northeast to the South, there won't be a whole lot of resources for the veterans of this invasion occupation when they get home. And I guarantee you that if he happens to come home in a body bag, there won't be a photograph of his flag-covered coffin. And I guarantee you that this good government won't spend a plug nickel to pay for his tombstone. I guarantee you. But don't you worry. There are plenty of American contractors that have duffel bags filled with $100 bills, courtesy of our good government. Ooh. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue, y'all. Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Ooh, my name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We have much to talk about. My number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free good times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Walking for most of us is something that we take for granted. Use your gift of walking Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. Registration is 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. Distance is 3.1 miles. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th at the walk to defeat ALS.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Money, 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 Liz Brown. Don't forget that we broadcast or we're archived daily on WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. You miss an hour, go get an hour. This is Liz Brown. You can also email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. Money, 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 money. This story out of Shanghai, one of China's largest state-controlled company. You know, all these people that, all these Ronald Reagan folks and people of that generation and a couple generations after him. Tell them folks like us that were born past that. Better dead than red is what they said. They told us, you know, you do not cozy up to no communist China. No Ruski. Better dead than red. That's what they told us. That's what it says in the history books. That's what it says in the old papers. Better dead than red. Well, tell that to Newt Gingrich when he ran his self over to China, cutting deals with the Chinese. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying the hypocrisy of those that told us it was wrong, but then benefited financially. And one way of saying it, one way of looking at it, said that they've, you know, fed the beast. Fed the beast. We lost jobs over here because they can make stuff cheaper, quicker, more profit for the bottom line for the corporations that incorporate offshore. So they don't have to pay us any taxes to run the programs that they use to fix the highways that they drive on. They don't want to do any of that. And this government has allowed them to do that. So away they went, and away they went. Corporation after corporation after corporation started having all of their products made, manufactured, over there in China. They fed the beast. What are the repercussions of that? Well, I'm here to tell you. Based on a story coming out of the New York Times, here's what happens when you feed the beast. One of China's largest state-controlled oil companies made an $18.5 billion unsolicited bid for Unocoal, signaling the first big takeover battle by a Chinese company for an American corporation. Well, now, well, now, well, now, well, now, well, now. The bid by China National Offshore Corporation, CNOOC, C-N-O-O-C, may be a watershed Chinese corporate, may be a watershed in Chinese corporate behavior, and it demonstrates the increasing influence of Asia on Wall Street's bare knuckle takeover tactics. No, I think it's more than that. I think it demonstrates as China's growing economic power, and it demonstrates who fed it. They have ambitions too. CNN, sorry, CNOOC's bid comes 2 months after Unocal agreed to be sold to Chevron. Who's that? An American energy giant for $16.4 billion. Now, wait a minute. Let me do the math. Again, I'm not a math major. Didn't really like math a whole lot. But the little bit of math that I understand says that if Chevron, or after Unocal agreed to be sold to Chevron for $16.4 billion, and China makes a bid for $18.5 billion, the winner is China. This is expected to incite a potentially costly bidding war over California-based Unocal, a large independent oil company. Bump that. What does it mean about our gas prices? What does that mean for us? I think we all know the difference between up and down. I think we all know where it's going to go. After years of attracting billions of dollars in foreign investment and virtually turning itself into the world's largest factory floor, you want evidence of that? Ask Walmart how much they're dependent upon China. China appears to be nurturing the growth of its own corporation, corporate giants into beacons of capitalism. China wants to be a player on the world stage and is eager to have its own energy resources, its own multinational corporations, and its own dazzling corporate name. Oh, it's on. It is on like a mug, and I think it would be fair to say, when you ask the question of whether or not America is ready, able, how America would do in a war, an economic war at this time in our history, with anybody, I think it's fair to say that we wouldn't do too well. We wouldn't do too well. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding, ex-Peter.
You know, two things. One about Oprah Winfrey. I see she has experienced some racism, exact as if it wasn't supposed to happen to her.
Well, she hasn't said that.
Well,
I mean, she hasn't said that,
but there's a pop-up on the website on CNN where they have some interviews going on. They're showing a picture of her at a, I guess, at a function or something that she was supposed to try to have gotten into. And you should see the look on her face. It's kind of real gloomy. You remember the look that Diana Ross had on her face when she was coming to the airport and she was being searched? Well, Oprah has that same look on her face.
Well, again, that I want to hear what she has to say.
Yeah.
I mean, if she says that she didn't expect that it could happen to her, if she
well,
says
the second time also.
Okay. But again, if she says that, then yeah.
And but, the thing is that they're saying that they didn't recognize her,
mm-hmm.
but they say, well, we did recognize her, but they just wasn't going to let her in. But anyway, I was listening.
I think the better response from their side, the safer response from their perspective is to say we didn't recognize her, or that we did recognize her and decide not to let her in. Because that way they
absolutely,
can walk. They can,
well,
they recognize it,
but they decided not to let her in.
Yeah, because that way that they can't be accused of the race piece.
Yes.
So that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, it was very, very sculpture. But I was listening to NPR, and the commentary that's coming out about this deal with China and its attempt to take over, shall I say, purchase one of a major stake in with United States Oil Company, it seemed like the commentators are they're up in panic. They're worried.
Well, they should be.
And
well, they should be. I mean, America should be.
Well, you know, U.S. policy is that U.S. can go around the world and buy up whatever she wants, but when someone wants to try something to buy something major,
no,
U.S.
that's not,
companies, it's different.
I would suspect, Peter, that the reason why anybody with any kind of common sense should be that lives in America should be concerned about what's going to happen to America once all American stuff is being bought up. I think it's not a comment of they shouldn't be allowed to do it. It's who we opened up the door, and we're getting ready to be taken over.
Well, you know, when U.S. gives out its aid, especially like to African countries, some of the stipulations that's thrown on the table, too, is that it opened up the door, these African countries open up the door where some U.S. come in and run some of their major industries like the airlines or energy production. And one other thing, you know, in the Mideast, I see that some of these governments that's being elected, duly elected in these Middle East countries, these Islamic countries, are still the constitution that they are crafting and the legislation that the legislator is still going to stick to Islamic law. Mm-hmm. And the United States is kind of worried about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the United States, and again, if the United States government, this government, was focused on the real interest of America, they wouldn't have to be worried about another country being governed by Islamic law. And the United States government needs to focus on keeping, I don't know, $8 billion on the soil and the ground of the United States. That's where their focus needs to be.
So you're saying that all the big deals that we've seen and all the central point about the excursions that's going on now is not for the best interest of the United States, the American people, but for a handful of few?
What is going on in Iraq is just that. What is going on in Iraq is just that.
I think that's a good observation. Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
How you doing, Leah?
I'm outstanding.
I thought it was very interesting what you was talking about this morning. I think that it should have been on the front page, but knowing America and the people that I think people, you know, most white people think the United States is supposed to do what they did, giving all of this money away. Because
I don't know, when you look at most white Americans believe that the United States is supposed to be giving away $8 billion to another country, just dumping it on the ground. I would bet you everything that I own that most Americans, white Americans, would not say that we're supposed to be giving our money away like that.
I'm not saying all of them.
Right? I'm saying I don't think that you find most white Americans saying, "Yeah, let's go dump $8 billion on the ground of Iraq."
And this is what I'm saying. I think it's just like it would be an embarrassment if it came out that, you know, that they was doing this. Because, I mean, it seemed like more people would call or more people would try to get in touch with their so-called, what they say, get in touch with their congressman and want to know about this. But they're too ashamed to even talk about it.
Well, I see, and again, if we're talking specifically about this particular issue, I understand that it's your opinion, and let's just try to break it down for a second. In all fairness to the judgment of what most people are going to do, I think it is only fair that most people be told about something before we can assess whether or not what they're going to do. And in all fairness, this story is not on the front page of the paper. In all fairness, the people that made the decision about not putting this story on the front page of the every paper in America are corporate-owned media structures that have a different interest than the interest of most Americans. I believe that if this story that we dumped $8 billion on the ground in Iraq, that we took $5 billion and just rolled it up there and handed it off to people in duffel bags, American dollars, 201 million single bills of $100 bills, I think that most Americans would say, "Are you out your mind? That is wrong. No, don't do that."
Well, I tell you, I listen to this show when you go off. And most of the white folks that call this show will say, "Why don't she mind her own business?"
But that's a whole different other issue. That's a whole other issue. I'm talking about this particular situation, this particular topic, this particular thing that you started off with saying that most Americans would say that dumping that money in Iraq, American dollar bills, was all right. And I would bet at most of the stuff that I own that most Americans would say, "Are you crazy? Dump it here. Dump it here." Got to roll. Taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. You need to get to me. Now, people are going to say talk stuff about me all day long anywhere they want to, and they're going to say what they want to about me. But if you talk about that issue, I guarantee you that most people would say, if you're going to dump $1 billion, dump it on Tucker, and I'll go get my duffel bag. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Process wasn't something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something.
It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Montreal. The Canadian government has issued a travel advisory to its citizens for the island nation of Haiti. This comes following the kidnapping of a Montreal woman there. She said she was held captive, burned with candles, and beaten until her family paid a ransom for her release. Kidnappings are the latest trend in the continuing instability in Haiti, which has been unstable since the former president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, was forced out of office in February of last year. A UN official in charge of peacekeeping operations is scheduled to visit Haiti today to review the peacekeeping mission efforts. Complaints have been made for many months now that the 7,400-member UN force in Haiti is not effective in putting down gang violence. And Dateline Nuevo Laredo, things are not improving in this border town. Mexican soldiers sent in by the government to bring peace to the area are being bought off by drug kingpins, so now it's hard to tell who the bad guys really are. Locals say the government troops are called the Zetas. They're former members of an intelligence battalion sent to the town to fight drug trafficking. But now many of them have sold out to the drug lords and have become their own personal hitmen. Since January of this year, over 70 people have been killed in Nuevo Laredo. That's compared with 65 for all of last year. The Zetas use intimidation tactics on anyone who has any power or influence in the operations of the town. Because Nuevo Laredo is the largest crossing point for truck traffic from Mexico, it also has become a favorite drug smuggling route. Corruption is so bad that people are being kidnapped for ransom, and even illegal immigrant smugglers are being forced to pay fees to the Zetas in order to operate in that area. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You've been looking for a reason to start your weekend a little early, right? Well, then why not start out with the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Discover new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. Visit with some of your favorite artisans and crafters and the area's top independent vendors. Learn about exotic animals from ring-tailed lemurs to mini Nigerian dwarf goats. You can even bring home your own sugar glider from Custom Cage Works. All for you Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. The St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU this Friday as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
Hi, I'm Charles Gere.
And I'm Laurie Falkerson.
With the best of everything WGNU, Sounding Board, Thursday mornings at 10:05.
We take your comments on whatever's on your mind.
With an informative and entertaining guest every now and then.
It's your opportunity to sound off.
That's why it's called Sounding Board, the best of everything WGNU.
Join me, Laurie Falkerson.
And me, Charles Gere, for Sounding Board, the Thursday morning edition of The Party Line at 10:05.
On Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920. WGNU online at WGNU.net.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Hello.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. And if you want to hear a discussion, a panel discussion of the impact of foreign policy, American foreign policy on other countries, that's going to take place this weekend, Sunday, from 3:30 to 6 o'clock at the Regional Arts Commission. That's right across the street from the pageant. It's put on by the American Friends Service Committee. There's going to be a discussion on Haiti. There's going to be a discussion on the Palestine and Palestinians and Israel. There's going to be a discussion on Venezuela. There's going to be a discussion on Haiti. It's going to be a really fabulous a panel discussion. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be talking about Venezuela. Come on out from 3:30 to 6 o'clock on Sunday at the Regional Arts Commission right across the street from the pageant. It's going to be a really fabulous panel discussion. I'll be talking more about it tomorrow to remind you to set it up on your calendar for this Sunday from 3:30 to 6 o'clock. My name is Liz Brown. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@liz, LIZZBROWN.com. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. You're on the air.
The top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
And the rest of the day to you.
Thank you. In reference to the dumping of that money,
mm-hmm.
When money is dumped like that, I'm sure there are many American hands digging deep into that dumped money and putting some in their own pocket.
Absolutely. What? Just human nature. What would you do if in the middle of Tucker Street that a bunch, that a van backed up with shrink-wrapped $100 American bills, and they said, you have your duffel bag. What would most Americans do?
Get two duffel bags. But then again, what that guy was talking about, some of the money that America promises to other countries doesn't always follow through.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What could Africa have done with $5 billion?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, this money is being dumped into a plot of land the size of California. Mm-hmm. And nothing's fixed. There is no electricity for most people. There is no clean water for most people. There is no hospital for most people. No schools. No stores. All of the billions of dollars that have been set down on this plot of land that is the size of California.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Doctor.
All right. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. You're on The Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. This is Ike.
Good morning, Ike.
I liked your program this morning, but I got to touch on this also. Something serious is going to be done about our Afro-American veterans here, like myself. We're going to have to walk down there on South 18th Street at the VA, and the man runs the thing that decides you get paid or not is David Leonard. And you had a lot of guys on TV, and we appreciate that. But I talk a lot of veterans on the north side. I know my age. And that it's time for us to bring him on the carpet because there's a lot of lies, deceit. They profile Afro-Americans. They ain't doing nothing to veterans up on Grand. I go down there. I talk to a lot of the white veterans. A lot of them won't even talk to you because they're getting their benefits. We need to get serious about the veterans here in Missouri, and I am serious about it because I've been fighting 45 years. I know this thing backwards. It's not very hard to get paid. It's the idea of bringing them on the carpet, and we need to get down and protest right in front of that new building and get rid of all them people down there, still there, should be in the cemetery, most of them. And they're still racist as they can be. They profile when it comes down to paying us. We got to get down there and protest these people and get in their face because they ain't going to do nothing right for the veterans here.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much stuff to talk about. And I guess as a final note to you all, because I try, I really do. I work very hard to try to bring you all the information that you need and that you should know about. And I guess I kind of want to leave you with a thought that your government is trying to work on your behalf. It's my understanding that our good government is deciding to really fight the terrorists at home. Hallelujah, right? No place like home, right? That's where it makes sense that you know, you want to get rid of the terrorists here at home. But before you get your flag out, shake off the dust, and hang it out your front door before you tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Know that the terrorists that our good government is going after are the terrorists of the type that are animal activists. They're not going after the Klan. They're not going after the militia. They're going after people that are concerned about the rights of animals. Three cheers for our good government. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong, will you?
I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below that the low nation. I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White.
Some in Congress have suggested that deadlines be set. That would be a mistake.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld rejecting calls to set a timetable for a U.S. troop pullout from Iraq. He also told the Senate Armed Services Committee,
terrorists have to be stopped. And the world must find ways to encourage would-be recruits to choose a better path. Rumsfeld.